Voices IE America Radio Network News, I'm Corey Morris. The former Hurricane Isabel is now continuing to make its way northward as residents along the Mid-Atlantic coast begin the cleanup already. Weatherbug meteorologist Dave Jones is there.
Isabel is now a tropical depression and is exiting the U.S., moving very rapidly northward. She is leaving her mark, though, in a big way on the Mid-Atlantic states, with millions of people without power from North Carolina through Virginia into Maryland and Pennsylvania. Flooding high tides on the Chesapeake Bay and a massive amount of cleanup from the beaches to the mountains. Weatherbug live sensors are showing the highest winds moving towards the Great Lakes, but now winds seem to be much less than tropical storm force, which are between 39 and 73 miles per hour. Certainly is a day of cleanup around here, and I'll be doing the same just north of Annapolis, Maryland. It's shaping up to be a great beach day, though, along North Carolina, Virginia, and Maryland. The only thing is, I have a lot of cleanup. I'm Weatherbug meteorologist Dave Jones.
Elsewhere today, Iraq's former defense minister has surrendered its U.S. forces. Sultan Hashim Ahmed was number 27 on the U.S.'s list of most wanted former Iraqi officials. Meanwhile, 40 people believed to have been involved in the killing of three Americans in an ambush had been apprehended in Iraq. The suspects were captured after a night-long battle near Tikrit. Yesterday's attack was one of the deadliest yet on U.S. troops in the so-called Sunni Triangle. It happened at the same time another army camp came under fire, and the army now says the apparently coordinated attacks could signal a change in the tactics of those fighting Americans. Forces. Israeli soldiers and Palestinian gunmen traded fire today in the West Bank town of Jenin. The gunfight came on the second day of an Israeli sweep for Palestinian militants. Two people were wounded in that shootout, one of them a 12-year-old boy. The Israeli sweep and the gunfight come after Israeli forces demolished the home of a suspected Hamas suicide bomber. Israel's defense minister earlier this week rejected calls from Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat for a ceasefire. Instead, he promised to keep up the pressure on Palestinian guerrillas and said as long as Arafat continues to lead, there's no chance the peace process can move forward.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all...
Feeling. Whoa, 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 feeling.
Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Californians could find out today if the full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will uphold a delay in the recall election. Monday, a three-judge panel postponed the election because six California counties still use punch card balloting, which is now illegal under California law. A new test detected West Nile virus in more than 600 blood donors this past summer. The New York Times says those test results prevented the contaminated blood from then being transfused. Health officials say hundreds of illnesses were likely prevented because each unit of donated blood is broken into components and usually transferred into at least two different patients.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Texas State Senate has voted now to remove sanctions placed on the 11 Texas Democrats who fled the state during a special session of the legislature. Those Democrats now have their full privileges once again, like postage and parking, and they will not be subject to nearly $57,000 in proposed fines per senator. But while the sanctions were lifted, the Texas 11 were put on probation, and Republican Senator Jeff Wentworth says the fallout from that move will be felt for months.
I believe it hangs on for another 15, 16, 17 months. And in my judgment, that wasn't a wise thing for us to do.
The measure to put the Democrats on probation passed by a close vote, 13-10. That probation lasts until the start of the next regular session of the legislature in January 2005. If the senators break quorum for more than 3 days in a session before then, they might still have to pay those $57,000 in fines. The Democrats fled the state in an effort to thwart Republican lawmakers' redistricting plans, which they claim were drawn up along racial lines. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. Might the corporate takeover of our commons and government be derailed? This juggernaut, the corporate CEOs and as president and vice president, corporate officers all over the cabinet, corporate officers, corporate shills walking through the halls, six lobbyists for every person in Congress and the United States Senate. The corporate takeover of America is going so fast. I shouldn't say the corporate takeover of America. It's really the corporate takeover of our commons, of our government. The most valuable and specific of our commons. You know, the commons, that stuff that we all jointly own, we all own together. The air that we breathe, that we together agree we're going to keep this safe. We're going to keep it safe so that, you know, because it goes through our bodies every day. It becomes our bodies, the air we breathe. And some corporations have a different agenda. Not all. Certainly not all. I doubt that there's more than a thousand at the most, maybe 2,000 corporations in America that are really functioning in a toxic way and making use of specious corporate personhood, making use of the claim that they have constitutional rights, like Nike's recent claim that they had the right to lie that they took all the way to the United States Supreme Court, got kicked back down to the California Supreme Court, because they're a person. I'm sorry, the founders of this nation were very clear about what a person is. Even the 14th Amendment that these corporations cite, where it says no person shall be denied equal protection under the law, 14th Amendment starts out, any person born or naturalized in the United States. They're talking about people, human beings, you and me. So anyhow, might the corporate takeover of our commons and government be derailed if Congress, now, decides, get this now, if Congress decides that George Bush just admitted he lied to them in October of 2002 and in March of 2003? This could be huge. This could be absolutely huge, and time will tell. A lot's going to depend on, number one, whether the press picks it up, and number two, whether Congress picks it up. And we'll see how it's going to play out. I'm going to share with you the specifics of the law that Bush pushed through. It's just incredible how this thing got set up. In 2002, as an October surprise to spin the elections, in the opinion of many, and then in 2003, initiating the war in Iraq,
George Bush cited Iraq's ties to 9/11. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. I just wanted to share with you a couple other things in the news here before we get into our main topic for the hour. By the way, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, talk radio for the rest of us. Our quote for the day from Thomas Jefferson, a letter to James Curry, January 28, 1786. Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. And in this day of electronic press, certainly our airwaves, part of the commons that we the people own, one of the big battles now in Congress that Bush has even in fact said he's going to veto this if Congress votes down Colin Powell's son, Michael Powell, head of the FCC's new ruling that corporations can own more radio and television stations and newspapers in specific markets than before. Anyhow, that's our quote for the day. Hillary's favorite general, yeah, the editorial in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. I think they must have been listening to my program on Monday. Dr. Dean is the one Democrat who's been able to tap alternative fundraising sources and has hinted that Mr. McAuliffe wouldn't be his first choice at the DNC, says the Wall Street Journal. I'm telling you, there's fear and loathing in the Democratic Party about Howard Dean because he's not a DLC Democrat. He's not a member of the Democratic Leadership Council, which is this corporate-funded, corporate-backed thing that it has attempted to take over the Democratic Party. If Bill Clinton brought these guys into power in the early 90s, and to give them credit, it was about... The reason for it was fighting fire with fire. The Republicans were so successful in raising corporate money, and it had become such a truism in American politics that he with the most money wins in the 1998 election cycle. 98% of the candidates who spent the most money won the elections at state and federal levels. And it's pretty amazing. And so understanding, as Bill Clinton did back in 1990 when he was planning his 92 run for president, understanding that he had to get cash and that, you know, the trial lawyers and Barbara Streisand and trade unions were all nice, you know, to use the cliches that the right like to throw around. You understand what I mean. I mean, there's this larger spectrum of wealthy people who actually believe in democracy, like Warren Buffett, maybe. I'm not sure now. He's backing Schwarzenegger. Maybe George Soros. I don't know. But anyhow, wealthy people who support democracy, many of them in Hollywood, people who make a living off the democratic process, and trade unions who represent average people who are working, who are the antagonists, as it were, in an appropriately antagonistic system between labor and capital. I mean, it's entirely reasonable. It's entirely right that there be a balance. If capital is allowed to organize, if money can come together, if corporations can join together, if they can do mergers and acquisitions, if they can form trade associations, if they can create one, if they can jam one corporation into another and create something bigger and bigger and bigger, something Thomas Jefferson proposed to James Madison in 1787 should be barred in the United States Constitution. He suggested that the Third Amendment to the United States Constitution should read, "There shall be an absolute ban on corporate monopoly on monopolies in commerce." Was the exact phrase. Corporations should not be allowed to own other corporations. They should not be allowed to do more than one thing. They need to be carefully constrained. These guys had just fought the Revolutionary War. They had, which in large part was against the British East India Tea Company, or the British East India Company. They understood the issues. But I digress. So Bill Clinton looked at this and he said, okay, we have to get enough money to win this thing, and the corporations are where the cash is. So I don't know how the DLC first came about. One of these days we're going to do a whole show on this, and really do our homework. But the Democratic Leadership Council came about. This thing is funded by mostly corporate money, and of course they brought us, to some extent, the corporate agenda. It wasn't so much the unique niche corporate agenda that we see now. I mean, here you see the energy industry running the Bush administration for the benefit of the energy industry. Well, with Clinton, it was more general. It was signing WTO, GATT, and bringing about the World Trade Organization, signing NAFTA into law, signing the Telecommunications Act of 1996. These broad giveaways to corporations, not going back to the Carter-era enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act and its descendants. But Bill Clinton did a lot of good things, but he really screwed up in some of these areas, in my opinion. And so we got this DLC, which represents the corporate interests, and Howard Dean is not in with them. And so the Wall Street Journal suggests Hillary, they say, is a DLC person, and the DNC, Terry McAuliffe, is in with the DLC, and these folks are all, you know, trying to hang on to their power. So here we have the Wall Street Journal says, all this being Wesley Clark's stepping into the race, occurs amid speculation about Hillary's own presidential ambitions. Of course, the right loves to pull this, you know, bugaboo out of the head. Hey, scary. Her role in backing the general suggests, says the Wall Street Journal, that she and her husband fear that Dr. Dean's insurgency could upset her own well-laid plans for 2008. Now, that's interesting. If they're assuming that she has well-laid plans for 2008, that means they're assuming that she's assuming that George Bush will win in 2004 unless Howard Dean runs. The Wall Street Journal is essentially saying they think Howard Dean could win. And then the last sentence of this editorial, the real battle for control of the Democratic Party may finally have begun. This is going to be interesting. You see what else has happened in the news. One of the folks in our chat room, by the way, if you go to TomHartmann.com, www.TomHartmann.com, you can click on the chat room link and drop in on one of the most interesting, erudite, and fascinating conversations on the web. And right as we opened the show, one of the folks in the chat room clipped in this little note. He said, in the September 16th White House briefing, this would have been Tuesday, there was a question about Ambassador Joseph Wilson's statement. Now, remember Joseph Wilson. He's the guy that, on behalf of Cheney and the Bush administration, had been sent down. He was formerly our ambassador to Iraq. He had some familiarity with the area. He was sent down to Africa, and he had been stationed in Africa during his career. He was sent down to Africa to find out if this uranium thing was real. And he came back, and he said, nope. And then he wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times. That is an unforgivable sin to this administration. Speaking out? Speaking out? Somebody in the administration speaking out? Not to happen. So his wife, who apparently was a CIA agent involved in counterterrorism espionage, who was controlling and working with agents all around the world, trying to stop Al-Qaeda, they outed his wife through this column with Robert Novak. And I've been saying for months now, is Robert Novak going to go to jail? And is whoever leaked this thing in the White House, it looks like it was Karl Rove, going to go to jail? Because not only is this a felony, but it may have led to it's destroyed the career of a CIA agent, Joseph Wilson's wife, but it also may well have led to the death of our agents all around the world. In fact, it probably has, according to several different news sources. So anyhow, Joseph Wilson, the White House press briefing, somebody stands up and asks Scott McClellan, Ari Fleischer's new guy, his replacement, says, Joseph Wilson said, quote, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog-marched out of the White House in handcuffs, end quote. And he asked Scott McClellan, you know, is there any investigation going on into Karl Rove's role in that? McClellan's response, it's totally ridiculous. No, they're not. We're not going to look into that. Are you kidding? Might the corporate takeover of our commons and government be derailed if Congress decides that Bush just admitted that he lied? We'll come back to that question right after this break. This is Tom Hartmann, the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? At LendingTree.com, you choose from up to four agents certified by LendingTree and get up to a $2,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Presenting the new
Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers. It's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff, like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores.
Apply now at
Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with the use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Mother of us all, place of our birth, we all are witness to the rape of the world.
And welcome back. Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We're going to get into this question of, might the corporate takeover of our commons and government be derailed if Congress decides Bush just admitted he lied to them in October of 2002 and March of 2003 In fact, might there even be a prosecution of George W. Bush for this? And I'll lay out the case for you in just a moment. First, we have Paul in Manchester, New Hampshire on the line. Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tom. You mentioned the DLC. Just last week, our local public radio station had a program about what's happening to the Democratic Party in New Hampshire, and there was a panel of people representing different viewpoints. And one of them was a state representative who's a member of the DLC, and he came right out and admitted that he was a backer of Republican Joe Lieberman.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe is the main DLC candidate. I mean, he's...
Yeah. And he was talking about how, you know, this moving to the right is this great new opportunity of new voters for the Democratic Party. But what I didn't understand is, what's the point in voting for a Democrat who agrees with George Bush on everything?
Yeah.
Might as well vote for the real thing if you agree with those viewpoints.
Teddy Roosevelt said, or maybe it was Franklin, that was one or the other. Anyhow, said, the American people, when presented with the, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the quote right in front of me, but this is pretty close to exactly right. He said something to the effect of, the American people, when presented with the choice of voting for a Republican or a Democrat who behaves like a Republican, will choose the Republican every time. It was Franklin Roosevelt. It was a Democrat who said it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was Truman, now that I think about it. Anyway, it was one of those Democrats who said it. Yeah. So anyhow, it's yeah, and I agree.
And of course, he was slipping in a bashing of Dean, who was called a liberal. And my point on that program was going to be, except they ran out of time, was this whole positioning of who's liberal and who isn't.
Dean is a Rockefeller Republican,
because when you look at people's, don't report what people say the other guy is, report what his record is. And
there you
it turns
go.
Out that Dean is right in the middle. He's liberal compared to a fascist.
Yeah. Well, what's happened is the middle has shifted so far that if you look at Nelson Rockefeller's positions on issues back in 1964 and you look at Howard Dean's positions on issues now, they're very similar. He would have been considered a moderate Republican back then, or perhaps a conservative Democrat. And now, and here in Vermont, I mean, as I'm broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont, and he was my governor for years, and everybody here thought he was just kind of a middle of the road guy. He got along with the Republicans, he got along with the Democrats, he got a lot of good stuff done. He upset people on both sides equally. He was he was an equal opportunity guy in that regard. And the one thing about Howard Dean that always impressed me the most was that whatever he said, you could pretty much take to the bank. He told the truth even when it hurt him politically. Now, having said that, by the way, I keep getting emails from people saying, why don't you talk about Dennis Kucinich? You're always talking about Howard Dean. Dennis Kucinich is a great guy also, and so are all the other candidates. I actually, the one that has impressed me the most through these debates has been Carol Mosley Brown. But Howard Dean keeps coming up. He seems to be the front runner now, so... So, anyhow, Paul, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Appreciate the comment. Let me get into this topic here. I wrote a piece this morning. Somebody sent me an email about this, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. It rang a bell because I remembered when the law was passed that there was some reference to 9/11 in the law, and the email that they sent me had to do with the authorizing letter. But I wanted to go back and actually read the law. Remember in 2002, just before the November elections, in October of 2002, that law that was passed authorizing Bush to do what he needed to do? Let me share with you some interesting parts of that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In the last 5 days, we have successfully concluded negotiations with five of the largest manufacturers in the world. That's five for five.
That's Ron Gettelfinger, president of the United Auto Workers, announcing tentative contracts with General Motors and auto parts supplier Delphi yesterday, the last auto companies to settle with the UAW. All parties are keeping details of the agreements to themselves, though leaked information indicates that contracts include more modest wage increases than the union's previous agreement, higher prescription drug co-payments, fewer restrictions on factory closings, and a two-tier wage system at parts suppliers that will see new hires receive salaries about 30% lower than current wages. A $3,000 signing bonus would sweeten the deal. Collectively, the agreements cover more than 300,000 active auto industry workers and 500,000 retirees and spouses.
Soldiers and police officers now run Sri Lanka's public hospitals after some 80,000 medical technicians and other hospital support staff went on indefinite strike Wednesday. The Health Services Trade Union Alliance is protesting the poverty-level salary structure of hospital workers. The government says it can't afford to give raises.
American corporations hold a collective $400 billion worth of underfunded pension plans, but don't expect to see that gap narrowed anytime soon. This week, the Senate Finance Committee voted to relax rules that would require companies to shore up their pension funds, potentially a $60 billion break to corporate America over the next 3 years. While the bill would give relief to companies whose pension funds have been decimated by the collapse of the 1990s stock market bubble, critics say it would only worsen the country's pension crisis, leading to more defaults on workers' retirement funds.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from outer space on the Sirius Satellite Radio System Stream 145, and streaming live around the world on the Internet on various Internet radio stations, IEAmericaRadio.com, of course, the one from this network, Live365.com, and my favorite, RadioPower.org, with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find all of that at the website TomHartman.com, and in addition to a message board where you can discuss the topics of the day, and a live chat room where right now a conversation is going on even as we speak. And I actually read these things during the breaks and interact and participate. It is so interesting. After, you know, I started in radio 30 years ago, and it was a whole different world. It's so interesting to be so interactive now. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. On Tuesday, September 16th of 2003, George Bush, well, before I get to that, let me back up just a little bit. Way back in the spring of last year, George Bush gave a speech, one of many. This is just a typical one. This one was given in, as I believe, either Cleveland or Cincinnati, somewhere in Ohio. And he would say, Saddam Hussein, 9/11. Saddam Hussein, 9/11. Saddam Hussein, 9/11. For example, here he starts out by talking about Saddam Hussein and what a threat he is, and then he goes to, and so...
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
It being Iraq.
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history. On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability, even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
So then we go to, 9/11, and then he comes back to Iraq, and then he goes back to 9/11, he comes back to Iraq.
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges.
Got to worry about that equipment.
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
And then he brings it back to Iraq, or to 9/11.
We've experienced the horror of September the 11th. We have seen that those who hate America are willing to crash airplanes into buildings full of innocent people. Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon.
This is after just saying Iraq is trying to get nuclear weapons, then he says this, and then he ends with...
Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun, that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
So now, back then, I mean, everybody who really understood the situation, which it turns out must be about 30% of the American public, because 70% of Americans think that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11, and more than half of Americans think that one of the hijackers was from Iraq, if not the majority of them. So back then, this minority of Americans, 20, 30%, who actually understood the situation, who'd actually been reading the newspapers and paying attention to what was going on, were somewhat irritated by Bush's insistence in going, Saddam Hussein, 9/11, Saddam Hussein, 9/11, Saddam Hussein, 9/11, back and back. But never making that bridge so that he could be nailed for it. He never said, Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. If he had, bang, that would have been the end of that. So it was, you know, deception by innuendo. And it upset a lot of people, and it concerned a lot of people, and it clearly was successful. And obviously Bush wasn't the only one doing this. On 9/11 itself, that day, there were senior administration officials. I forget whether it was Rumsfeld or Cheney, but one or the other of them was on network television talking about Saddam Hussein. And on the 12th and on the 13th, I mean, you know, this administration started that drumbeat. And it turns out now that we know from the Judicial Watch lawsuit that way, way back in 2001, right after they took power, right after this administration took power and Cheney had his first Energy Task Force meetings, from the Judicial Watch lawsuit, we see that they were actually dividing up Iraq's oil fields before 9/11. So anyhow, we've got that. And 9/11 happens. You know, it's a terrible shock. George Bush emerges as the hero standing on the pile of rubble saying, we're going to get these guys. He goes to war in Afghanistan. A lot of people opposed it. Most people said, okay. I think the main thing that made people uncomfortable was that the Taliban, the Afghani government, offered to give us Osama bin Laden, not to the United States, but to the Allies. And we turned him down. We said, no, we don't want him. We're going to come and take him. And, of course, we didn't. And so, anyhow, after the Afghan war, the luster was starting to wear off. The 2002 elections were coming. A lot of, many parts of the nation, the Democrats were doing very well in the polls. And having read October Surprise by Barbara Honegger, which I think is one of the most important books out there. It's out of print. You can find used copies, though. October Surprise by Barbara Honegger, a former White House insider, about how George Bush Sr., during the Carter administration, cut a deal with the Iranians to hold the American hostages until after the elections. And if they would do that so that Reagan would win the elections, because it would make Carter look so bad to have these hostages held, if they would do that, then he would give them missile technology after the elections. And, of course, he did. They did follow through on that. And when they did the Iran-Contra investigations, the Republicans were successful in getting a clause put in the law that authorized the investigation, saying that it was illegal for Congress to investigate any Iran-Contra involvement prior to Reagan and Bush taking power. So they couldn't go back and investigate that alleged meeting. But anyhow, Barbara Honegger, who was in the White House, wrote this whole book about it called October Surprise. So many suggest, the partisan paranoids, let's say, of the Democratic Party, suggested back then, and maybe I'm one of them, I don't know, I wrote an op-ed piece in Common Dreams predicting that an October Surprise was coming in 2002. Because it looked like the Republicans might lose control of the House, and they had already lost control of the Senate when Jim Jeffords defected, and they needed something. And so, boom, late September comes this proposed Public Law 107-243, which is passed into law in October. October 16th, as I recall, or I'll have to check here. I've got the exact date. Yeah, October 16th it was passed. And what does this law say? Now, this is the law that the administration put forward as the rationale for asking for war powers from Congress. And if George Bush knew at that time what he said day before yesterday, which was...
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
We have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with September 11th. If he knew that back then where did this language come from? Let me read to you from this law. This could be the fact that they proposed this, they handed this to Congress. I mean, talk about lying to Congress. This isn't just testimony. This is getting Congress to vote on a law that is going to lead to the death of thousands, of tens of thousands of human beings, to the death of hundreds of American citizens, and the wounding and maiming of over 1,000, possibly over 2,000 American citizens. And I quote, whereas members of, whereas Iraq both possesses a continuing threat to the national security of the United States by, among other things, continuing to possess and develop a significant chemical and biological weapons capability, actively seeking a nuclear weapons capability, and supporting and harboring terrorist organizations. Now you could say, well, okay, maybe they overestimated. Then it continues. Whereas members of Al-Qaeda, an organization bearing responsibility for attacks on the United States, its citizens and interests, including the attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001, are known to be in Iraq. And then it continues. Whereas the attacks on the United States of September 11, 2001 underscored the gravity of the threat posed by the acquisition of weapons of mass destruction by international terrorist organizations. And it goes on to say, the risk that the current Iraqi regime will either employ these weapons to launch a surprise attack against the United States of America. And then they add, and the extreme magnitude of harm that would result to the United States and its citizens from such an attack combine to justify action by the United States to defend itself. And then it goes on to say, it comes back to it again, to 9/11, one more time. Whereas Congress has taken steps to pursue vigorously the war on terrorism requested by the President to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001, end quote, that the President may use force against those persons. Right, so this is pretty clearly saying Saddam had something to do with 9/11, and we're going to go after him because of it. The specific authorization was to go after Iraq because it had, and I quote, Public Law 107-243, aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001, end quote. Well, this created quite an uproar back in October, on October 16th, when it was passed. The Democrats, I mean, there were the debates, there were millions of people on marching in the streets all over the world, all across the United States. And it provided the Republicans with a perfect opportunity to say, what? You don't want to defend America against those nasty SOBs who attack America? Those people who attacked our Twin Towers? Look at you, boy. You Democrats must be wimps. And they successfully painted the Democrats, even the ones who voted for it, with the brush of yellow. Max Cleland, a war veteran who lost three limbs in Vietnam, was attacked by Saxby Chambliss, a Republican challenger in Georgia. Saxby Chambliss, who had evaded the Vietnam War, sat out the war with a draft deferment. Saxby Chambliss attacked Max Cleland for not being sufficiently patriotic. Do you get the irony here? And Chambliss won. And it happened all across the country. Republicans won by attacking Democrats for not being sufficiently enthusiastic, even if they had voted for Public Law 107-243, for not being sufficiently enthusiastic about it. So they took over the House and the Senate in November of 2002. And January goes by, and February, and in March, things start unraveling again for the Republicans. On March 5th, Dick Cheney is under investigation for his Halliburton dealings. It's coming out again. On March 5th, an FBI agent was going to be on Bill O'Reilly's program, and he pulls out at the last minute. It makes headlines across the United States. He says he's afraid of speaking out for fear of his job. What was he going to talk about? According to Judicial Watch, who represented him, he was going to say that Bush had thwarted... The Bush administration had prevented the FBI from doing investigations that could have led to Saudis and their involvement in 9/11, or that could have prevented 9/11 from happening in the first place. We'll never know for sure exactly what he was going to say because he didn't testify. On March 9th, Reuters reported that Halliburton had been awarded a sweetheart contract to fight oil well fires in Iraq. It started raising eyebrows. On March 11th, a GOP consultant was named in an Enron investigation. On March 12th, the Washington Post revealed that Ralph Reed received $300,000 from Enron before its collapse. And the very same day, the Inquirer newspaper in London dropped a bombshell saying, quote, Halliburton payments, which appear on Mr. Cheney's 2001 financial disclosure statement, are in the form of deferred compensation of up to $1 million a year. Things were not going well. So on March 18th, George Bush sends a letter to Dennis Hastert and Dick Cheney, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, saying, this letter is, in effect, saying this letter is to notify you that I am going to use that power you gave me back last October with Public Law 107-243. He wrote, and I quote, I determined that, then there's some language in there, essentially says declaring war on Iraq and, quote, acting pursuant to the Constitution and Public Law 107-243 is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th, 2001. End of quote. He writes to Congress and he says, I'm going to attack Iraq because of 9/11. And then, Tuesday of this week, he says...
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
And I'm wondering whether the folks in Congress are wondering whether A, they were made a fool of, and whether the Democrats in Congress, the partisan, the most partisan of the Democrats in Congress, are thinking that if this was an intentional lie, it certainly beats out, no pun intended, having sex with an intern. I mean, this is huge. What's going to happen? How's this going to play out? Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mr. Rogers parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
Ah! Christ!
Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The Full Circuit Court of Appeals. Here's the hope in this. This is starting to unravel. This attempted takeover of the United States, this coup d'état that has been put forth by. In my opinion, by corporate forces, and I want to make it very clear, I am not anti-corporate. I own a corporation. I have run corporations. I have started corporations. What I am opposed to is corporate abuse of power and corporations involving themselves in politics. They can't vote. They have no reason to be in politics. And that's the way America viewed this for the first 150 years of its existence. It was against the law for corporations to participate in politics. It was a felony for them to give money to politicians. It was a crime. People could go to jail for using corporate money to try to influence elections. It was called bribery. It was called bribery and influencing were the types of the laws. Anyhow, so now we see this unraveling happening here. The Full Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia let stand a panel's decision ordering Vice President Dick Cheney to give the Sierra Club documents from his task force on energy. The task force met with oil, gas, nuclear, and coal interests in developing its plan. This, according to the New York Times, reported in the Wall Street Journal on 9/12. And Judicial Watch yesterday sent out a news release. Judicial Watch, you'll recall, is the bunch that sued Bill Clinton over Jennifer Flowers or the other woman, I forget her name, that led to Bill's impeachment. Larry Klayman, some view as a notorious right-winger, but he's presenting himself as he's just against corruption in government. Right, left, doesn't matter. Judicial Watch, the public interest group that investigates and prosecutes public corruption, today reported that security staff at the White House threatened a process server with arrest over his attempt to serve Vice President Cheney with a complaint filed against him by Judicial Watch on behalf of shareholders of Halliburton. They note, it is a crime to interfere with service of process. So the unraveling may be beginning here, folks. This is going to be real interesting times. We live in interesting times as the Chinese curse goes. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after the news.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The former Hurricane Isabel has now been downgraded even further to a tropical depression. She's now heading north after causing an estimated $1 billion in damage and leaving millions without power. WeatherBug meteorologist David Jones has the latest conditions.
Well, it looks like Isabel now is headed up towards Canada with winds still of tropical storm force near 40 miles per hour. Rainfall totals in the mid-Atlantic area range from 6 to 12 inches that fell over the central Shenandoah Valley to 2 to 6 inches across the eastern West Virginia Panhandle of western Maryland, and 2 to 5 inches across the Piedmont area and the Baltimore-Washington metro areas. Tides still remain very high over the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. areas, ranging from 4 to 8 feet. Above average. As a matter of fact, the tidal Potomac set a record. It was 0.2 of a foot higher than the record surge with the August 1933 storm. That was the Category 2 hurricane that actually created the inlet at Ocean City in Maryland. Well, we'll certainly keep you updated, but it looks like Isabel is winding down. Winds continue to gust on the Chesapeake Bay at about 25 to 30 miles per hour. It looks like we'll have one more tidal surge to go through with some coastal flooding. I'm WeatherBug meteorologist Dave Jones.
So far, 15 deaths have been blamed on Isabel, most of those coming from auto accidents. Three European countries, including America's closest ally there, Great Britain, apparently went against U.S. wishes last month by offering to share technology with Iran if it would stop its nuclear program. Western diplomats say a joint letter from the foreign ministers of Great Britain, along with Germany and France, was delivered to Tehran early last month, offering Iran that technology sharing. The move was intensely opposed by the United States, with the Bush administration saying Iran has been illegally researching nuclear weapons. Iran is now coming under increasing scrutiny from the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Group, the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
American soldiers in Iraq opened fire yesterday on an Italian diplomat's car, killing his interpreter. U.S. military sources say Pietro Cardoni, the senior cultural advisor for the American-led administration in Iraq, was unhurt in the incident. Soldiers say Cardoni's car tried to pass an American convoy several times on a road near the town of Tikrit. The source says troops opened fire when they thought the car was trying to ram one of their vehicles. Cardoni's been at the forefront of efforts to recover artifacts that were looted from Iraqi museums and archaeological sites during the invasion.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
Yale University workers will vote today on a proposal that would end the service worker strike there after more than 3 weeks. Reporter Laura Cannon has more.
Yale President Richard Levin last night announced what he called an unprecedented 8-year tentative deal. Unions representing about 4,000 service workers have been on strike for more than 3 weeks, mainly over wages, job security, and pension issues. Yale recently offered raises ranging from 3 to 5% per year, and unions reportedly agreed to consider a longer contract in exchange for some increases in pension. I'm Laura Cannon.
And the man accused of killing former pedophile priest John Gagin in his Massachusetts prison cell is being arraigned today. Joseph Drews is charged with murder. The Worcester County District Attorney's Office says the courtroom was cleared for a security check before the arraignment. Drews allegedly strangled Gagin in his cell last month. Attorneys who represent prisoners, though, want to know how the two men wound up in the same unit, since Drews was already serving time for murdering a man who allegedly made sexual advances on him. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. The vast radical middle conspiracy here on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations via the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting also live coast to coast, border to border from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, and also on web-based stations, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with Archives of White Rose Society.com. You can find it all, along with a link to our live chat room that is full and active with very interesting folks whenever we're on the air, at www.tomhartman.com. And pretty much however you spell it, it should get you there. Protesters line the streets. This was an article that was in the Ohio Beacon Journal. And it speaks to the question, has the possibility of a Democrat winning the White House suddenly terrified conservatives about Ashcroft and the Patriot Act? What do you think about that? Do you think that the right wing is rethinking things? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, if you would like to weigh in on this. Labor Day traffic flowed smoothly at the intersection of State Routes 303 and 176, says this article in Ohio's Beacon Journal newspaper. Protesters line the streets is the title of the article by Jewel Cardwell of the Beacon Journal staff. Traffic flowed smoothly until 10 a.m. That's when Richfield police and those from neighboring environs shut it down to vehicular traffic and cordoned off the sidewalks and grassy area with yellow caution tape like you see at a crime scene. Now, why did they do that? Way out there at the intersections of State Routes 303 and 176. A half a mile away from there, there was a huge group of people with signs that said things like, four more years. George Bush was speaking at the invitation of Summit County Republican Party Chairman Alex R. Arshinkoff. And in fact, Arshinkoff had sent out a press release or a letter to Republicans all across the state saying, and I quote, anti-Bush protesters will be out in full force to demonstrate against the president. Although we cannot guarantee that you will see the president or his motorcade, it is crucial that we show the rest of the nation that Summit County fully supports the president. So they got out the Firestone High School marching band.
And they're performing for the presidential motorcade. You know, a marching band out there and all these supporters and all these good Republicans. But what's going on a half mile away? A half mile away at the intersection of State Routes 303 and 176, the Richfield Police Department and those from several other neighboring townships have shut down these streets to traffic and cordoned off the sidewalks and a large grassy area with yellow caution tape like you see at a crime scene. What were they doing a half mile away from where the marching band was and all the Republicans were cheering for George Bush? They were preparing the free speech zone. Yes, folks, the free speech zone, the place where you must go to be out of camera range so that CNN, when they show their marvelous Leni Riefenstahl-type photos of George W. and his adoring crowds, there's not a negative face to be seen. There's not a frown to be seen. Nothing but smiles and cheers and marching bands and good, clean-cut, well-scrubbed Republicans. What has happened to America? What has happened to the idea of free speech in the United States? We know that this is something that George Bush started when he was governor of Texas. As far as I can tell, the only governor in the United States to round up protesters and put them in chain-link fences, cages, and call them free speech zones and have the police enforce them. And as president, from day one, he has been doing the same thing. And now there are several lawsuits going on, but have you heard about it in the mainstream media? Nah. Do they report on the free speech? No. Bush is going to be speaking at the United Nations on Tuesday. We're going to have Curtis Ellis, who's going to be inside the UN, reporting. He knows quite a few of the diplomats. He has press credentials. And he'll be reporting on this program live from the United Nations on Bush's speech. But if any of you listening happen to be in the New York area on Tuesday and are outside the United Nations and you have a cell phone, please consider being our free speech zone correspondent, assuming that they set up one. I'd be amazed if they don't, but possibly because it's the United Nations, and the United Nations is configured in such a way that it's very easy to get people in and out of there without ever having to confront crowds. There may not be a free speech zone there because there may just be no public appearance of George W. at all anyway. But if there is, or anywhere else, anywhere near you, I want to start reporting on this. I want to start talking about this and sharing this with America. We need to wake up to the fact that this is as toxic as John Adams in 1798 passing the Alien and Sedition Laws Act so that he could put in jail the newspaper editors who wrote against him, who spoke out against him. This is the exact same thing. This is that toxic. And I'm of the opinion that when enough people realize what's going on, I don't think most people know this. I don't think most people would even believe that this president for 2.5 years has been having people exercising their right to free speech in public areas. I'm not talking about in the hall where he's speaking. I'm talking about out on the public streets outside. Has been rounding people up, herding them into cages, and threatening them with beatings, shootings, or arrest if they try to dare to leave the cage. Well, the twist on the story, I think, and this is what I think is particularly interesting, is that it's starting, the right wing of America is starting to look around and go, you know, this is really cool, but if Howard Dean gets into office, or Dennis Kucinich, or Al Sharpton, or John Kerry, or Joe Lieberman, if any Democrat gets into office, Carol Moseley Brown, if any of them get into office, John Edwards, they might use these same laws against us. And they're starting to freak out.
share with you some of this here in just a moment. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ben in Elgin, Illinois, is on the line. Ben, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, hello, Tom.
Hey,
you know,
Ben.
There is a way to be in a free speech zone and still be heard by reporters and microphones and presidents.
How is that?
Being very, very, very loud.
Yeah,
here's my concept. You go out to a sporting goods store and you buy a little device called an air horn. 140 decibels. You've heard them at every football game you've ever been to.
Right.
200 people with air horns and, of course, earplugs will create an audio pressure of approximately 195 decibels. This is sufficient at a block distance to crack windows.
Whoa.
This is
now,
sufficient
Ben, here's
to be heard
my...
10 to 15 miles away.
Yeah. And you know what would happen, Ben?
Hmm.
I mean, there have been so many cases where reporters have had their cameras taken away from them because they, quote, might be weapons, end quote.
Uh-huh.
People are frisked before they're let into these things. The cops would simply say, the police officers would simply say, that air horn is a weapon that you might use against me to harm my eardrums, and I will not allow you to have it. And if you try to use it, they
would
arrest you.
That'll only work after the second time, because the first time they won't be aware it's about to happen. The other thing is you can buy whistles. There are several sorts of whistles that you can wear around your neck on a lanyard that are in the 110 decibel range.
But these, I mean, in some cases, there have been free speech zones set up literally a mile away from where the event was.
I guarantee you, if you have 50 to 100 people blowing on 110 decibel whistles at the same time, it's going to be like a freight train in the distance. You're going to hear that thing almost to the horizon.
Well, it would be interesting. From your lips to God's ear, from your lips to the ears of all the activists and folks out there who might want to challenge this stuff, Ben, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Be interesting to see how it plays out. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. The religious right is... You know, I'm skeptical, but what the heck? I mean, you know, it's be interesting to try it. Report back if any of you hear anything about this. You know, consider this show Free Speech Zone Central. This is something I really believe needs to be exposed. This is just wrong. And this, you know, and as I said, the folks on the right now they're looking at John Ashcroft, who used to be their guy. He was their man. He has prayer meetings every day. He covers up statues that have bare breasts. He's their man. And they're starting to get scared. And what they're starting to get scared of, what they're starting to be afraid of, is that the Republicans may lose control. It's suddenly starting to sink into these people that politics goes in cycles and that George Bush may not be invincible. See, 6 months, a year ago, they thought he's invincible. We're going to do another Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt. He's going to have four terms. I mean, obviously not Bush himself, but they're grooming Jeb. I mean, there was discussion last year. I was down in Florida. And I was watching a newscast, and there was all this whole serious discussion about how they're preparing Jeb Bush for the 2008 presidential campaign. This is dynastic thinking. More than a quarter century of Bushes running America in their mind. But now it's starting to sink in. Maybe this isn't really what's going to happen. The religious right is beginning to get very concerned. In particular, they're getting concerned about the Patriot Act, the USA Patriot Act, because they're concerned that it might be used in the future, specifically to label missionaries and right-wing protesters as terrorists, the way it's now being used to label Muslims and left-wing protesters as terrorists. I'm going to share a couple little clips with you from this. I think you'll find it fascinating. And I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES if you have thoughts on it. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
We
needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Presenting the new
Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers. It's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff, like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores.
Apply now at
Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with the use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
It's time for another trip into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you into the dark hole of corporate claims about the virtues of their packaged food products. Our guide is Consumer Reports magazine, which probes the crassness of commercialism every month. Here's a pick to get us started. Dairy Fresh. If you like fresh cream in your coffee, you might reach for this. Unless you happen to see the fine print confessing that ultra-pasteurized Dairy Fresh never saw the inside of a cow barn. It's non-dairy creamer. Then there's the big summer sausage that the Hillshire Farm proudly labels Yard O' Beef. Now that's a hunk of sausage. But it's not a yard-long hunk by any stretch of the imagination. More like a foot and a half. But 16 1/4 inches O' Beef just wouldn't have the same zing. So what the hell? Call it a yard. Let's give credit for truth in packaging, though, to the Dole Company. Its bag of peeled mini carrots has this reassuring disclosure right on the front. Contains carrots. If you think it's absurd that Dole would feel it necessary to tell us that its bag of carrots contains carrots, you've not tried the Brie and Peppercorn Gourmet Spread. Flip the box over to read the list of gourmet ingredients, and the only cheese it mentions is cheddar. Keep flipping the box, and you'll finally solve the mystery when you find this bit of small type. Brie-type flavor. Apparently, though, we can rest assured that the peppercorns are real pepper, not pepper-type flavor. The consumer who's most disappointed with product packaging, however, has to be the fellow who eagerly cracked open his fortune cookie and found not a mystery, inside humor, or good luck, but this crass pitch. Promote literacy. Buy a box of fortune cookies today. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's clear grounds for a deceptive packaging lawsuit, or at least another cookie.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 10 steps to restore democracy to America. You'll find this under the Restore Democracy link on the TomHartman.com website. We own our government and our commons. Drowning government in a bathtub, as the neocons recommend, may have been a good idea in the Soviet Union.
But the United States is a constitutional, representative, democratic republic where our government is literally us. It is us. Consider. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. I know you know these words, but there's one here I want you to notice, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, in this, they're defining the purpose of government. Back in the early 1700s, 1724, John Locke, in his second treatise on government, wrote about the vitality, the importance of life, liberty, and property. That the key to an egalitarian type of government, which had never been tried in Locke's opinion, it had been experimented with, flirted with by the Greeks, but it wasn't a true elected representative democracy. The Greek polis, you served in it, it was sort of like jury duty, it was a lottery. And there were other dimensions of Greek democracy that were very different from what people were talking about in the 18th century. And John Locke was talking about life, liberty, and property. And Thomas Jefferson read that, and he said, life, liberty, and property. He said, that sounds like, you know, friendly feudalism, sort of like compassionate conservatism. His feudalism was built on the ownership of property. That whoever owned the property owned the people on the property, the serfs. The modern version of feudalism isn't property-based, it's cash-based. It used to be the property was what defined the value of money. When Ben Franklin finally convinced Philadelphia or Pennsylvania to publish its own money, back, it must have been in the 1740s, probably the mid-1740s, as I recall, he suggested, and they agreed, there had to be some way to define the value of the currency, and they didn't have huge reserves of gold or silver. So he said, let's take the value of all the land in Pennsylvania, define that, divide it by, you know, the number of pieces of currency that we want to print, the number of shillings, or I think they were doing shillings then, not dollars, and print the currency based on that. And so the value of the currency in Pennsylvania was based on land. But times changed. This was before the Revolutionary War. And when the Revolutionary War came along, they said, you know, our founders said, no, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That there are things more important than property. They have to do with the quality of our lives. Our ability to speak freely. Our ability to participate uninhibited in political discourse. Our ability to argue any position, however unpopular. Our ability to live our lives the way we want. You know, by modern standards, the founders were extremely liberal. They were not so concerned with private morality. They were very concerned with public morality. They were very concerned that people have freedom, that they have, that government provide happiness. Strange thing, happiness. A government would provide happiness. The preamble to the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare. Core issues. Are these being ripped apart by the Patriot Act? And what are the right-wingers saying about this? How are they getting worried about this? I'll share that with you right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
can seep into the courtroom when there is not enough to go around. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Ogallala Aquifer is North America's largest reserve of groundwater. It's a thick layer of wet sand that supplies 8 states with fresh water that's essential for agriculture. This big sandy sponge has been the focus of numerous lawsuits. Jim Gakey is a research hydrogeologist at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. He says Nebraska sits above half the water in the aquifer. Gakey says there are tens of thousands of wells in the state, and people in adjacent states don't want to see any more.
And I checked the statistics just in Nebraska, and at the start of 1980, we had almost 67,000 high-capacity registered irrigation wells. And as of the end of 2002, we were pushing 94,000 wells here in Nebraska alone. And in many areas in Nebraska now, we have moratoria established, limiting further installation of high-capacity wells. And a lot of that's driven by court cases between adjacent states.
Gakey says a lot of water conflicts spring from a lack of information. He says more research is needed to monitor groundwater levels, and that would help ease conflicts between states.
I really like the idea that, you know, these are the united, not the divided states, and that we ought to be able to get along as we work out the future of a resource that transcends state political boundaries.
The Ogallala Aquifer holds 20% of the groundwater in the United States. The 8 states above it recently formed the Ogallala Aquifer Institute to work on public education and management issues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Propagandy, propagandy. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propagandy. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up my day, keep the facts out of my way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Christianity Today magazine is concerned that the Ashcroft Justice Department, using the Patriot Act, may, quote, profile activists. And, that pro-life activists have told Christianity Today that prosecutors could create sweeping, abusive definitions of terrorist or terrorist network. So here we've got the anti-abortion folks very worried about the Patriot Act for fear that they could be called terrorists. I mean, you know, they shoot abortion doctors and they bomb clinics and they protest outside. Are they terrorists? Clearly some of them are. I'd say probably the vast majority of them are very, very, very far from being terrorists. But they're as the same as with those protesters on the left, they're worried about being labeled as terrorists. Ron Sider of Evangelicals for Social Action has said that Ashcroft has legitimate security concerns, but he may be overlooking how power tends to corrupt. Sider said, and I quote, "We need a more Lincoln-esque understanding of the tragedy of history from Ashcroft. Even good people can abuse power." Armstrong Williams, a fellow who is called one of the most recognized conservative voices in America by the Washington Post, Armstrong Williams says, and I quote, "Ashcroft's new guidelines could, in effect, loosen our right to privacy and undermine the FBI's ability to carry out its duty. In typical fashion, Ashcroft made these policy changes quickly and decisively. These are the character traits that served us well following the 9/11 attacks. Now, more than a year later, perhaps it's time to go back to being contemplative about those basic rights we associate with happiness." See, even the right wingers are starting to get worried about this, are starting to become concerned. By the way, just before the last break, Philip in Massachusetts, you were on the line holding to call, and I had failed to, I was flipping through my copy of the U.S. Constitution. I failed to look up at the screen and see that you were there. Sorry about that. Feel free to call back if you'd like. Now, more than a year later, the Cato Institute and other libertarian organizations are obviously against the Patriot Act. Surprisingly, here's a list of conservative organizations who are opposed to the Patriot Act. Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, the American Conservative Union, the Free Congress Foundation. Conservative groups historically have, normally they leave this stuff to the ACLU. They say, let the liberals take care of that stuff. First Amendment, freedom of speech, let the liberals worry about it. And now here's Grover Norquist, the ultimate right-wing crackpot, the guy who, well, I shouldn't call him a crackpot. He is. In my opinion, one of the most dangerous in terms of the threat to democracy in America represented by corporate power in America, of the bunch. You know, his statement to Mara Liasson on NPR that he didn't want to destroy democracy, he just wanted to shrink it down, or our government, rather, he just wanted to shrink it down to the size where he could drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub. Grover Norquist says, quote, "I'm not sure, given the Republican control of the House and the Senate and the government, that we can count on our left-of-center friends to look out for some of these issues," end quote. What? Grover Norquist is worried about the possibility that the Patriot Act and Ashcroft might be running Russia. Former Representative Bob Barr, he's now participating with the ACLU. On the religious right, you've got the National Association of Evangelicals and Newswatch Magazine worried about this. Here's Newswatch Magazine. Here's an editorial that they wrote, September 13th, 2003. "One of these evil desires of Satan is to create a one-world government with his men at the helm. We are the natural target." You hear the United States, you know, if he asserts that the United States is a Christian nation, it says, "Therefore, we are the natural targets of this evil, being called Satan and the devil. His agents always work in secret to gain control until they have achieved it. Then they openly attack anyone who stands in their way of absolute dictatorial power. Look at Russia when overthrown by Lenin, Germany with Hitler, Pol Pot." And he goes on to talk about the enemies within. Marxism, socialism, and without. Marxism, socialism, communism, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, 33-degree Freemasons, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, the Bilderbergers. Apparently now, they are beginning to think that John Ashcroft, Attorney General John Ashcroft, is touring 18 cities trying to convince officials the Patriot Act is good and needed. These guys, it sounds like they're starting to think that John Ashcroft might be the devil. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma is on the line. Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Well, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I started noticing a change, and people were starting to notice that too many bodies were coming home. We weren't really getting anywhere. We're getting bogged down, and we started getting some negative press. And I think, you know, relating to what you were talking about, the Patriot Act, know, people willingly gave up, said, okay, you can do these things because we have to do it, and we'll stop terrorism. Well, now it's been done, a lot of it's been done, and they're hearing other things, like looking up our library books, even though Ashcroft says no one's book records have been looked up. But they're figuring out that we're not any safer. We've just lost some freedom.
Yeah.
We've just lost some of it. We just gave away some of our rights, and we didn't get anything in return.
Yeah, a whole bunch of our rights.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of our rights.
Just because he hasn't looked up library records or book sales doesn't mean he can't do it.
Well, it turns out he has.
Yeah, well, he said on the news yesterday that he hadn't. No one's book records have been looked up.
Oh, really? Oh, I missed
that. That's what he said. I saw him say that on the news. And I thought, wait a minute. They have that right, don't they? And he's saying that because people were really criticizing him about that, I think. And his response
was... I saw a news report sometime back that said it was only something like 35 or 52 or something like that. Maybe he was qualifying it by saying only, you know, none of them have been looked up for terrorist investigations.
Maybe.
I know that they've been looking up for some of them for criminal investigations.
Maybe, but I think that whole idea just creeps people out big time.
Yeah. Hugely. You know. Glenn, thanks for the comment. Yep. I appreciate your calling. J. Edgar Hoover had some thoughts on liberty and license. Consider this. What is the difference between liberty and license? And does freedom exist in a vacuum independent of responsibility? J. Edgar Hoover. Oops, hang on just a second here. We reboot the machine.
All people are accompanied, are accustomed to taking liberty for granted. As a result, they have ceased to think seriously about it.
Yeah, well, so Hoover's saying, you know, we're taking liberty for granted, we're not considering it, so now it's time we've got to start thinking about liberty. So what was J. Edgar Hoover's thinking? On liberty, you know, here we've got John Ashcroft, who's the head of the Justice Department. Here's Hoover, who is the head of the FBI and regularly terrified heads of the Justice Department. What did he have to say about this?
They construe liberty as a license and clamor for even greater license.
Now, hang on just a second. Liberty is a license. It in fact, it goes beyond license. Liberty is God-given, according to the founders, or creation-given, or however you want to define it. It is something that is inalienable, Mr. Hoover. It is inseparable. It cannot be separated from us. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to do anything for it. There is no responsibility associated with liberty. There is a responsibility associated with citizenship. That is a different thing. But you don't have to do something in order to get liberty. In the United States of America, according to the founders of this nation, liberty is. It is a God-given birthright. We'll finish here what Mr. Hoover has to say, and we're going to go to Jerry on the phone. Hang on just a second. Well, here, J. Edgar Hoover.
Liberty and license are as far apart as liberty and tyranny. License breeds tyranny.
So license, he says, is dangerous.
Americanism is on trial. Its real test lies in the ability of red-blooded Americans to meet and to defeat the fifth column of destruction.
Yes. And that fifth column of destruction, back in those days it was the communists or the liberals in Hoover's mind. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Jerry in South Carolina is on the line. Jerry, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm just wondering if some of these right-wingers might be taking a sobering look at the polls.
Right.
And thinking that what's our world going to be like when these regulations like the Patriot Act are still in effect? And there's a Democrat in the White House, and just off the top of my head, just pulling the name out, let's say Andrew Young is the Attorney General.
Yeah.
Is the Democratic president going to be able to go all over the country and speak and not have any protesters be in front of him?
Can you imagine if Andrew Young was the Attorney General and you know, he's not the kind of guy who would do this, but, you know, hey, it's payback time. You know, I mean, Andrew Young was on the receiving end of an awful lot of violence directed at him by the forces of law and order in the United States in the 1950s and 60s.
Right.
He's a very good man, by the way. I knew his wife before she
died. Yes, I quite a bit.
So anyhow, you were saying, Jerry. Yep, we lost him. Jerry, sorry you're gone there. Here's the thing. Back to this article from Newswatch magazine. This Making Clear Today's News in Light of Biblical Prophecy magazine. This magazine that goes out to the Christian conservative right. Further scare came when a Patriot Act 2 piece of legislation was leaked to the public and the press. This act far outdid the first Patriot Act in wiping out our constitutional rights. The Freedom of Information Act could only produce heavily blacked out pages of the act, and the remainder was earmarked classified. The stealing of our constitutional rights is marked classified, so only the perpetrators know what they have planned. There is no doubt. Now, in this writing, the word no is in all caps, and there's an exclamation mark at the end of the sentence. There is no doubt America and its people are the target, and that is a bold, bold, and underlined, to lose their freedoms. After all, V.I. Lenin, first ruthless dictator of communism, stated that their plan to conquer the world was, first, we will take Eastern Europe, second, we will take the masses of Asia, last, we will surround the United States, it will fall into our hands like a ripe fruit. And then they asked the question. And keep in mind, this is the conservatives asked the question, how could the U.S. fall into their hands without a fight unless the government has been infiltrated with enemies pretending, that word in all caps, pretending loyalty? And now you know why John Ashcroft was doing his victory tour across America. Why he's going door to door, singing, you know, hey, Patriot Act, it's a wonderful thing. Has the possibility of a Democrat winning the White House suddenly terrified conservatives about Ashcroft and the Patriot Act? I think so. I think it's starting to sink in. And they had this euphoric moment where they thought they were absolutely untouchable, and now they're realizing that they're not, and it's a scary thing. Some other things in the news here. This is interesting. This came out of The News, the international The News. This is published in Rajab, Pakistan. So I don't know what, you know, in terms of its credibility, it seems from its website like this is a pretty solid newspaper in Pakistan. Taliban claim capture of 4 U.S. troops. This is from Peshawar. Pakistani as well as the Taliban sources on Wednesday claimed that 4 U.S. soldiers had been captured by the pro-Taliban elements in Paktia province of Afghanistan on Tuesday night in an attack on a convoy in the mountainous region. Quote, our fighters have captured at least 4 American soldiers in Birmai area of Paktia province on Tuesday night, claimed a pro-Taliban source who asked not to be named. The captured Americans have been shifted to safe places, the source claimed. I'm wondering if this is true, that we have now 4 American soldiers who are captives, who are hostages in Afghanistan, of the Taliban, this being in Afghanistan up in the region by the Pakistani border, which is where, from what I'm reading, they think, what's his name? Osama bin Laden. Today, by the way, day 735. In the search for Osama bin Laden, that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, day 221 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Remember how Jimmy Carter was way ahead of Ronald Reagan? Those of you who are old enough to remember, the right-wingers have been re-spinning this thing. You know, oh yeah, Jimmy Carter failed presidency. Nobody liked him. It was a disaster. Ronald Reagan came in. Everybody loved him. It was wonderful. Now, the reality was that Jimmy Carter was a very popular president, and he was way ahead of Reagan in the polls. And Carter made a fundamental mistake when those hostages were taken in Iran at the United States Embassy. Carter asked the nation to pray for their release, pray for the captives. And they had yellow ribbons tied around trees, and people were having prayer meetings, and Carter was praying for them, and he was doing everything he could behind the scenes. What he didn't know was that George Bush Sr. had already rigged it. The Iranians were not going to let go of these guys until after the election. In fact, they were released to the minute on the day that Ronald Reagan was sworn into office. He put his hand on the Bible and said, "I solemnly swear," and that was the moment when the hostages in Iran were released. Now, that brought down Jimmy Carter, the fact that those hostages were being held. I wonder if hostages being held in Afghanistan will harm George W. Bush. That's going to be an interesting story. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, "God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
And they're coming to take me away.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Was a warm feeling. Help you sit beside the sea. Was a warm feeling.
Yes, Van Morrison, one of the world's finest musicians. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and we have Billy in Santa Cruz and Jody in Arizona. We got about 3 minutes here. I'll try and get you both in. Billy, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy.
I was wondering about people who managed to make 9/11 a personal moment of greed and power, and I was curious as to other names that maybe I'm not aware of. I want to throw one or two out there for you.
Okay.
Start with Dick Grasso, head of the New York Stock Exchange, recently had to resign because he was taking so much money.
Yeah.
He got a tip for his good work around 9/11 because he kept the stock exchange open, you know, real quick. He got it open again. He must have worked like a really long weekend. $5 million. I don't know.
Isn't it amazing, Billy? Isn't it amazing?
Million.
I mean,
I'm not sure I would have accepted a $5 million tip to do my job for my country.
Right. These guys, it's like, you know, Arianna Huffington's pigs at the trough. It is not even strong enough a phrase to describe what's going on.
Well, you know, when you put it on the, you know how uncomfortable you are with what I say here. Imagine having to put the real truth on the cover of a book. Most people don't want to see it.
And these are the same people who say, oh, there shouldn't be a minimum wage. What, minimum wage? No, we can't have that. That'll drive up the cost of things.
You know, it is interesting. When I was being nasty using the Pat Robertson comments towards Dick Cheney the other day.
Yes.
You were so uncomfortable with that. And there in a nutshell, my friend, is the difference between conservative talk radio and progressive talk radio. What I did was a weak form of what goes on every day on Savage and Limbaugh and the rest of them, wasn't it?
Well, I'd say on Savage, yes. On Limbaugh, no, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to find Rush Limbaugh praying for the death of a liberal. I really
don't. Only Pat Robertson does that?
Oh, I saw the, was it Robertson or was it the other guy, Falwell? I thought it was
Robertson,
Falwell,
who actually said we were going to have a three-week prayer vigil.
Right, for the three
justices who aren't feeling that well, and perhaps, and quote, the hand of God could come down upon them.
Yeah, but see, I'm not sure that drawing the analogy between Pat Robertson and conservative talk radio is all that wise, other than perhaps. Anyway, we shouldn't be getting into this kind of industry insider stuff.
Anyway, so
state of democracy. Billy, I got to go. This bumper music means we're at the top of the hour. So thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
my fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. While crews assess Isabel's aftermath, thousands upon thousands of victims woke up this morning without lights to see the damage that occurred in the dead of night. Reporter Kathy Culpepper is in Norfolk, Virginia.
What a difference a day makes. It is bright and sunny, a beautiful day here in the Hampton Roads area. Still kind of brisk winds, but just prettiest day you've probably seen all year. You'd never believe it. Just about 14, 15 hours ago, it was just looked like the Dickens and everything was being damaged. That seems to be the most damage I'm seeing in the Ocean View area are trees down, bringing down telephone wires and power lines.
Isabel has been downgraded to a tropical depression. However, when it went ashore yesterday, the storm was a Category 2 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 100 miles an hour. Now that Hurricane Isabel is history, many of the 150,000 people who evacuated North Carolina's Outer Banks earlier this week are returning to their homes today. Don Dornberg reports.
While structural damage was mostly minimal, many people are finding their homes flooded from a storm surge that was about 8 feet. Fortunately, Hurricane Isabel did not linger over the area, and that kept flooding way below levels of 1999 with Hurricane Floyd. During the worst of the storm, about 3 million people along the East Coast lost power. Much of the electricity has been restored, and crews are working around the clock. Hopefully, most people will be back online by the end of the weekend. Reporting from Wilmington, North Carolina, I'm Don Dornberg.
At least 15 people have died because of Isabel. Another top member of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's regime is in coalition hands. Nina Maria Potts reports from Washington.
Former Iraqi defense minister General Sultan Hashim Ahmed was number 27 on America's most wanted list and reportedly gave himself over to the Americans peacefully. The surrender was apparently brokered by a Kurdish human rights activist. Of the 55 most wanted, 40 have either been killed or captured. Nina Maria Potts, Washington.
More in a moment.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front. Hey, we made it.
Yes.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if a girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. Is a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor?
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The UN General Assembly is meeting in emergency session today to discuss a proposal from Arab nations that demands Israel not deport or kill Yasser Arafat. A vote is expected by the end of the day and could reveal deep divisions among the U.S., Russia, the European Union, and the UN. There is a stunning twist in the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case. L.A. authorities have a man in custody they say offered to kill the young Colorado woman who has accused Bryant of sexual assault. Sheriff's officials say they arrested Patrick Graber in El Segundo, California, on solicitation to commit murder. More after this.
Presenting the new
Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers. It's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff, like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores.
Apply now at
Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
Forbes magazine's annual survey of the super rich names Bill Gates as the wealthiest man in America. It was the 10th time in a row he's earned the top spot, a fortune of $46 billion. Besides being the first ever Emmy telecast hosted by more than one person, the Sunday's 55th annual Primetime Emmy Awards will boast another new aspect, the addition of the Outstanding Reality Competition Program category. While TV Guide critic Matt Rausch admits deciding on a winner is like comparing apples to oranges, he still has no trouble predicting the victor.
Actually, the most interesting new category that came along is the reality competition category, where American Idol is going head-to-head with Survivor. But it's like, is Survivor, which is the pioneer of all of these reality shows, and it had a pretty good season last year, or American Idol, which was clearly the phenomenon of last year. So which one's going to win? I'm thinking it's going to go to American Idol, because what made bigger news than Ruben and Clay last year?
The 55th annual Primetime Emmy Awards will air live Sunday night on Fox. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready! Take aim and fire! No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and you've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Herman on the IE America, IE America Radio Network here in the Democracy Zone. Pardon me there. Boy, oh boy. We are live, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and I am falling all over myself here because Nancy Skinner is on the line. Nancy is one of my heroes. Nancy is a candidate for the United States Senate from Illinois. My first introduction to Nancy was on the IE America Radio Network. She's been on the Doug Steffen Show for years, I believe, and she did her own show here for a while on IE that was absolutely fabulous. I used to love listening to it, and Nancy is one of the world's really, truly great personalities. She's a regular on Fox News and MSNBC. She's heard on Doug Steffen's Good Day program. And Nancy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Wow, Tom, how am I going to deliver on all that? You made me sound so cool.
Yeah, but you are. You really are.
Hi,
I mean,
Tom.
I really.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We went through a mourning period when you ended your show in order to run for the United States Senate. Are you finding that people are more startled or surprised by the fact that a talk show host is running for the Senate, or that there are people more shocked by the fact that there's actually somebody out there who's a liberal talk show host?
Oh, that's a horse race. Yeah, no, I'm sure the more shocking thing is that there is a liberal talk show host. When I talk about my background at the speaking engagements, I say, you know, that's pretty, I think that's a measure of. After all, more people have been to the moon than have been successful radio talk show hosts from the left. More people have been exonerated from death row here in Illinois than have been successful. And there are certainly more people on the ballot for U.S. Senate in Illinois than have ever been successful liberal talk show hosts. And I'm sure you've discussed that at length, the reasons for that. And that's starting to change, thank goodness, due to IE America Radio Network. But it's very rare indeed. And I think that is a measure of one's determination and one's success. And if you can make it in this very lonesome field and treacherous field, then I can certainly take the Senate piece of cake. U.S. Senate piece of cake.
There you go. Nancy Skinner for Nancy, your website is SkinnerForSenate.com, right?
SkinnerForSenate.com will get you there. My favorite one is SkinnerTheWinner.com.
Okay.
Do you remember? NancySkinner.com. They all take you to the same place, Tom, and that is my exciting campaign website where we have a really, really, grassroots, exciting sort of Wellstonian-inspired campaign, and people from all over the country are participating. In fact, if you go there right now, we have a map of the United States up front and center, and we are trying to get donations from all 50 states. We're only a couple shy, actually, a couple western states shy of getting donations from all 50 states. Now, what kind of does that send about progressives? See, across the – this is my theory here, Tom – that progressives, maybe if you live in the Deep South and you're a progressive person, your vote doesn't count, or may not count or do too much in your state. But with the internet, we don't have to worry about geographical boundaries anymore. You can still support a progressive in a seat where, for instance, in Illinois, this is one of the Senate seats, the only Senate seat the Democrats really think they have a shot at taking back because it was a Republican seat. So you can have an effect, even if you live in a state where your vote won't matter, you can support and get a progressive into office so that you can change the composition of the U.S. Senate. I think I'm short in, let's see, I just pulled up my little map to see.
Yeah, North Dakota, I'm looking at it right now.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, and then a couple on the eastern, Louisiana, Alabama,
that's about it.
South Carolina, and West Virginia.
Well, you should talk about what you have. I mean, it's just most of the – is Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, it's just most of the – Alaska.
Alaska.
It's great. It's great.
So it's fun.
Nancy, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about what's involved in running for the Senate. One of the things that I encourage people to do here on this program is to get politically active. You know, get out there and do something.
Amen.
And for most people, that means registering to vote, putting a lawn sign in their front yard, sending $50 off or $100 to a candidate they like, or 200, or I guess 2,000 is the limit now, whatever they can afford.
It's funny, in my case, because of the we have a millionaire's clause in the McCain-Feingold bill. Yeah, they increased it to 2,000, but they have this clause that says if there's a millionaire in your race, that ups the limit. So there is a multimillionaire in my race who's vowed to spend $40 million. So
you're kidding.
No, I'm not. And so
in the primary?
Yes.
Another Democrat, you mean?
A rich Democrat. Can you believe that?
Oh,
and so our limit is now $12,000, which is obscene because I work with people who are small contributors. A truck driver from Texas, Tom, sent me $900 yesterday. A truck driver
That's
from
wonderful.
El Paso, Texas. He'd gotten Sirius Radio just to listen to IE America Radio Network. Isn't that terrific?
That's
and
great.
That's exactly what he wrote in his letter to me. His name was Jay. And listens every morning to my show, the Doug Steffen Show, that I co-host with Doug, and said, we need to put our money where our mouth is. And so, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes you cry when you open that up.
Yeah.
The way politics as usual has been, is even we get these rich Democrats, and they still move in circles that end up serving special interests. It's very difficult to get real progressive candidates who are not going to go do business for special interests because of the perversity of our campaign financing system. But you were saying, I'm sorry, I'm being a politician. You're the talk. We're two talks
okay.
Most of the politician in room.
That's your new career, Nancy. That's great.
Right.
We're talking with Nancy Skinner, candidate for the United States Senate from Illinois. Skinner for Senate, Skinner the winner, NancySkinner.com. If you have a question for Nancy, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, or if you just like to tell her how great she is, when you did that show, and even now with Doug, it seems to me over the years, and then I want to get into this thing about getting active in politics. I actually have a question there, but let me just wander off track for just a second. It seems to me that over the years, and tell me if this is just, you know, none of my business, but it seems that Doug's started out much more conservative than he is now, and you've been, kind of whittling away, and he's been becoming more and more and more centrist, maybe even liberal in some ways. Over the last year or so.
Do you think so?
Is that?
Oh, he'd kill me if I said anything about it. But
yeah, okay.
What Doug is a very open-minded person, and yeah. He's a contrarian in general. I will say this. So he looks at when Clinton was in office, he was awfully harsh on Clinton. He doesn't buddy up to the establishment by any means. And so a lot of people, yes, he is very open-minded, and he does consider it's not ideology. He's not a dyed-in-the-wool right-wing ideologue. So he will look at facts as presented to him, and this administration certainly presents them on a daily basis in the newspaper, from the economy to the national security to, you know, environmental protections, you name it. He sees those things, and he's willing to keep an open mind. So being open-minded, I think any fair open-minded person would reach the same conclusion, that this bunch is a disaster. And he's not afraid to be able to be independent and have his own opinion. Having said that, he's also a contrarian, so it fits with his image of being a contrarian, and he's received a lot of guff for not towing the line. Here's how it goes. When we first went on the air, we lost a couple stations because when I went on the air, he'd been on the air for many years, because a liberal was now on the air.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God! We can't have that! Bah, she doesn't even like George Bush. How can you have someone on the air that doesn't like George Bush? And what ended up happening, Tom, is we picked up, 100 stations, a lot of stations. And we now we're the third-ranked morning show in the country, and we've doubled our listenership. We have 5 million people listen to the Doug Stephan program every week. So, and people are so excited that there's balance out there. That, you know, we have a producer who's conservative still, Richie McFadden, mm-hmm. and Doug is kind of a little bit in the middle, but he goes both ways on issues depending. I am certainly a progressive. So you have all these different views, and I think, Tom, that's what people like to hear. They want to hear all sides. They're tired of the Amen Club and, you know, this stuff being shoved down their throats by every right-wing talk show host in the country.
I agree, Nancy, and even on this program, one of the things that I try to do at least once or twice a week is get a strong, articulate conservative on to discuss the facts, you know, to discuss issues. I mean, we've had people from the Heritage Foundation on here a whole bunch of times, Cato Institute, the Ayn Rand group, that's Cato, and AynRand.org, and anyhow, in fact, we're going to have another one on next week. It's just, you know, I think dialogue is an important thing, but let's get to the issues. Tell me, what's you decided to run for the United States Senate? I mean, that has to be an incredibly, incredibly scary decision. And what was the process? I'm interested, A, in your own personal story, but B, let's put it in a context so that it's instructive for anybody who might be listening, who may have thoughts about doing this themselves.
Don't do it. No.
Don't do it. Actually, don't Nancy, can you hold the answer to that? Because I just noticed that we've got a caller on the line. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut has a question for you. So let's let Tim get in here with his question before you get to mine. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim's on the line with a question for Nancy. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good afternoon, folks. Nancy, how are you doing in the polls?
Hi, Tim. You know, we haven't taken any polls yet. It's so early in the race that we haven't taken any polls. There was one poll taken, I'll tell you this. This was about 3 weeks ago by the local CBS News television news station, and they neglected to put my name in the poll.
Kidding.
No. So I talked to the news director, and he called back right away promptly and said, it was an oversight, it was a mistake, and it won't happen again.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me play devil's advocate. And as people know, that I've certainly backed a lot of long-shot kind of candidates, but a lot of them have won. Do you feel that, you know, that anybody, you talked at the very beginning about the fact that you're you're getting donations from all across the country. Mm-hmm. A truck driver sent you $900 mm-hmm. for your race. Now, if that truck driver's from Texas, you know, is it better for him to send $900 to you or to a local candidate there? I'm trying to be a little, you know, I'm trying to be fair and stuff. You know, you're a national radio personality now, and people, I guess, all across the country are, you know, are hearing you and your thoughts, the average person certainly doesn't have that kind of capability. Do you think that's fair?
Well, yes. If you believe in someone, if you believe in a candidate, and I have had, I've been lucky to have this opportunity to talk to people, why not? Because, as I said, his vote may not go so far. His $900 may not help get a progressive Democrat in Texas, but when there's an open Senate seat, as a progressive person, I think we need more progressives in Congress. We really do. We need less DLC, less mushy middle Democrats who have not stood up for democracy.
But will the average person get the same exposure that you have all across the country?
Well, Tim, you use what you can get. I mean, you know, you use what you can get. I donated to Walter Mondale's campaign when he was running for Paul Wellstone's seat. I live in Vermont. That was Wisconsin or Minnesota. Minnesota, I guess it is. And I did it because, you know, he got the ear of Move On. I mean, you use what you can. Pardon me for jumping in here, Nancy.
Will any other candidate have as much exposure?
They'll have more money. You know, these candidates, some of the people I'm with, they have the political machine or they have $40 million. And Tom's right.
Why did you not even answer my question? Thanks.
Well,
thanks for calling,
Tim.
Cynical response.
No, I am answering your question. You use what you have, and I don't.
We're out of time here on this segment. Hang on, Nancy. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. I've noticed a lot of middle-aged corporate types on motorcycles trying to recapture a rebellious youth they never really had. They hit the highway like a bat out of accounting, but all they seem to be rebelling against is a full head of hair. But they can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 for a place to rest and brush any dirt off their brand new leathers. I'm Tom, born to be mild Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a Core Hotel.
Have you tried Maxwell House's freshest coffee ever? Today, Maxwell House, and only Maxwell House, comes with the unique Fresh Seal. Fresh Seal locks flavor and aroma in the coffee. To top it off, Maxwell House's easy open can lets you enjoy that fresh taste without a can opener. For freshness you can taste, choose Maxwell House. It's our freshest coffee ever, and a great way to make every day good to the last drop.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Oh boy, Illinois hasn't seen anything yet. Wait until Nancy gets in the Senate. Nancy Skinner is our guest today on the Tom Hartman Program. Skinner for Senate, SkinnerTheWinner.com. And Nancy, in our chat room, we run a live chat room while we're doing the program.
Oh.
And Katie in Alabama says she's sending in a check. And Ooh. Bartlett for President in Idaho says he's sending in a check.
All right.
And so they both said you can color in those two states on your map.
Excellent.
They're looking at the map.
Thank
we got a bunch
so
of people
much.
In there. And if any of our listeners want to drop into the chat room, just go to TomHartman.com and click the button. You'll see it. We also have a couple of callers on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jody in Illinois is on the line.
Right.
Jody, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Nancy Skinner.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy. I'm an Illinois resident. I'm really excited that you're running.
Oh, excellent.
And I just, when I was listening to you speak with Tim, I thought it was very sort of ironic because right before you spoke with him, you had to say that, you know, they did a poll and you were left off. So you obviously had not exactly benefited from any exposure.
Right.
You know, clearly. And so I would think that, you know, and I remember when Peter Fitzgerald, the man whose place you want to take, when I looked up his, I found it on the Internet, his donations, they were from all over the country also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very common thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially in a Senate situation where the Senate can really be a check on what the House of Representatives is going to do, and the count is so close.
Mm-hmm.
The money, the $900 makes sense to send it to you.
It's really true. Where do you live, Jody?
I live in Arlington Heights.
Oh, okay. Good
and
on.
I am writing a check now.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, listen, you'll have to send me an email at nancy@skinnerforwinner.
Okay.
SkinnerTheWinner.com so I know who you are. I'm out in Arlington Heights all the time.
Okay, I will do that.
We have lots of great get-togethers, but I thank you for that. And, you know, it's funny. Jody brings up a good point, Tom.
Thank you. I'm going to hang up now.
Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
That, in a way, I have more recognition nationally than I do locally. I've been on national television for 3 years on O'Reilly and Hannity, you know, Hannity and Combs, and all these shows for a long time now, and having done the national radio show. But in terms of the local powers that be and the local media, they haven't recognized it's as if it's a very parochial thing, and they haven't really said, hey, in our, you know, midst, we have somebody who's been out there for a long time. The headlines when I announced my candidacy were not that I was announcing my candidacy, it was that I had gotten fired from WLS for announcing my candidacy. That's when they came out, and it was basically liberal talk show host runs for Senate, which, if you know me, if you've listened to me, I'm so much more. I've spent my entire adult life working on progressive issues. I was an environmentalist for 10 years, helping businesses and rebuilding communities in downstate Illinois after the floods of 1993. I've worked on helping in, you know, with global warming to create an emissions trading exchange worldwide to deal with that problem. I mean, I've spent my entire whole life, but the local media seem to think it's, you mentioned this at the get-go, somehow if you're a talk show host, that makes you, what, not so credible? I think we're very credible people.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, and some people have gone the other way. I mean, Mario Cuomo went from governor to talk show host. We have Michael on the line from Santa Fe, 1-800-TALK-YES. Michael has called. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Nancy Skinner.
Yes, I'd like to respond to that, not the caller before that, but the caller before that, Tim. What planet is he living on? I mean, with all the big money guns, I mean, does he think it's fair that candidates get millions and millions of dollars from political action committees from the corporate world, and that someone who just happens to be, you know, have a media access of one kind or another, somehow, well, that's not fair. You know, I mean, that's insane. It shows you how, you know, the far right has succeeded in you know, establishing the rules of the game to where, you know, oh my God, you know, she's getting contributions from California and she's an Illinois candidate. What about all the, you know, other candidates getting big money from corporations, you know, that are not even begin to have anything to do with the state they are in?
Yeah. Michael, I'm not sure this has anything to do with the far right or establishing an agenda. And I think Tim's question was well considered, and it is an issue that is worthy of discussion. Thanks for your comment. Okay. Nancy, we'll get to your response to that. We've got a break coming up here, and then we've got Lois in Alabama and Joe in Brookings with a question for you. Hang on. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In the last 5 days, we have successfully concluded negotiations with five of the largest manufacturers in the world. That's five for five.
That's Ron Gettelfinger, president of the United Auto Workers, announcing tentative contracts with General Motors and auto parts supplier Delphi yesterday, the last auto companies to settle with the UAW. All parties are keeping details of the agreements to themselves, though leaked information indicates that contracts include more modest wage increases than the union's previous agreement, higher prescription drug co-payments, fewer restrictions on factory closings, and a two-tier wage system at parts suppliers that will see new hires receive salaries about 30% lower than current wages. A $3,000 signing bonus would sweeten the deal. Collectively, the agreements cover more than 300,000 active auto industry workers and 500,000 retirees and spouses.
Soldiers and police officers now run Sri Lanka's public hospitals after some 80,000 medical technicians and other hospital support staff went on indefinite strike Wednesday. The Health Services Trade Union Alliance is protesting the poverty-level salary structure of hospital workers. The government says it can't afford to give raises.
American corporations hold a collective $400 billion worth of underfunded pension plans, but don't expect to see that gap narrowed anytime soon. This week, the Senate Finance Committee voted to relax rules that would require companies to shore up their pension funds, potentially a $60 billion break to corporate America over the next 3 years. While the bill would give relief to companies whose pension funds have been decimated by the collapse of the 1990s stock market bubble, critics say it would only worsen the country's pension crisis, leading to more defaults on workers' retirement funds.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky,
are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do?
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, along with Nancy Skinner. Nancy Skinner running for the United States Senate from Illinois at the moment. Nancy, a regular on Fox News and MSNBC, is also heard every morning on hundreds of radio stations all across the United States on Doug Steffen's Good Day program, also carried here on the IE America Radio Network. And Nancy, we've got quite a few calls here stacked up. I would like at some point to get back to my question for you, too, but we have, Lois in Alabama, Joe in Brookings, Mark in Dallas, and Peter in Charlotte, just so you all know, you know, what the stack is here. Let's take Lois's call from Alabama first. I think we have Lois.
Hello, yeah, hi.
Lois?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
I was thinking, too, about as far as Nancy receiving money from all across the country. Here in Alabama, we have a choice of Richard Shelby or Jeff Sessions running for Senate. And of course, they're both Republicans. As far as Democrats, I have not seen a candidate appear yet for that. And as a Democrat, I would want to support somebody because I think the Senate and the Congress should act nationally, not necessarily regionally, as far as working for the people of the country. And if somebody out there, you know, so I think it behooves us to support Democratic candidates wherever they may be.
Amen.
Especially
Tom,
if
can
you can't get a local candidate that you can vote for.
Tom, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Nancy. Can
okay, because we have a little technical problem. I could not hear you as we came back into the program, and I have a little echo in my ear. If we could get our engineers to work on that. I know our radio goes.
My. The wonders of live radio.
Yeah.
Nancy, did you hear what Lois had to say?
I caught the tail end of it that she said that she agrees that we need to support good progressive candidates wherever they are because the Senate, the stakes are national. It's not a local
Absolutely.
Thing anymore. And as we've seen, there have been so many critical votes taken where just a vote or two in the Senate. You know, look at Roe v. Wade. Look at the balance, what hangs in the balance, these right-wing judges that this administration is trying to appoint. So you may not get your progressive senator in there, but if you can get another vote in another state to keep these guys off the bench for a lifetime appointment, amen. Look at the FCC media consolidation vote, how important it is that we had enough senators, progressive senators, to tip the balance of that vote.
Yeah, and we, while on the one hand, I think it's very important that we all be parochial, that is, that we pay attention to local politics and participate as much as we can, we also have an obligation to participate in the larger national one, in my opinion. And I think that's what you're saying, too. Joe in Brookings, Illinois, I'm assuming, is on the line. Joe, what state is that? Joe dropped. Okay, let's go to Mark from Dallas. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Dallas, you have a question for Nancy. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom and Nancy. How you doing?
Good, Mark.
Well, thank you. Hi,
yeah,
Mark.
Good. I have a little bit different question for you, Nancy, and don't mean to put you on the spot. You're campaigning to become a U.S. senator, and based on some of my past experience, I understand that this is a very serious position. And my thinking is that oftentimes it's very easy to be a talk show host and be a critic. But becoming part of the process is something different. So where I'm going is I'm wondering if you've given any thought to how you're going to handle transparency. And what I mean by that is that you're going to be asked to make decisions on a lot of different things. You're going to be asked to do a lot of horse trading. And I wonder if you thought through how you're going to handle in the future justifying and rationalizing the decisions you'd have to make in the future, which could be quite tough.
I'm not sure if I really understand that question. I am running because I think we compromise ourselves too much as Democrats, that we compromise our principles too much. And my whole raison d'etre here is to say this is what needs to happen in this country, and I'm not going to be timid about what it is I believe in order for political expediency or my own advantage. I've always done that, Mark, on the radio as a liberal on a conservative talk station in Chicago at WLS. When it came to my attention that President Bush did not serve, he went missing for a couple of years, AWOL,
right.
I said it. And I knew that there would be repercussions for saying it. And, I understand that. And I feel that the Democrats are too timid. Going into the war with Iraq, I think that they wanted to get it behind them. They were afraid of challenging the president for the most part, except there were some brave people who did and voted against the resolution. I have said to my constituents here, I will say what needs to be said, and I will let the chips fall where they may. That's what's different about my candidacy. I'm not going into this saying I'm going to have to do horse trading for political expediency. That's what everybody else has done. That my what I hear from my long listening tour, people are tired of that. They want somebody with conviction who will act on it.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Well said. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Well said, Nancy. Thanks for the call, Mark. 1-800-TALK. Yes is our number. 1-800-825-5937. And Peter in Charlotte, North Carolina, has a question for Nancy. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Hello, Tom. I've discovered your show about 2 weeks ago, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
How's it going with this? Oh, yes. I've never really had the opportunity to listen to Nancy Skinner before, and this entire conversation has been fun, but I haven't heard Nancy really say anything about what she thinks about drug policy, what she thinks about GATT or NAFTA. Does she support Dean's plan for health care? Does she support Kucinich's plan for health care? What's her alternative for health care? For this entire, I mean, I'm sure Nancy is a great, would make a great senator. I'm not saying that, but let's talk a little bit about,
issues.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get to the issues. Good one. Excellent, Peter. Nancy, you want to give us a quick rundown of your thoughts of, you understand what the hot button issues are for Democrats right now?
Yep. And at the top of the list, top of the hit parade is the economy right now and jobs. Absolutely. And this is something I've been talking about for a very long time on the radio, Tom. And in summary, in terms of the economy and jobs, what we need to do is make jobs faster than we ship them overseas. That's what I say. We got to make them faster than we ship them.
How do we do that, Nancy?
Two ways. Let's start with the first part of that statement, make them faster. We need to make jobs here because they are, and I'll deal with NAFTA and GATT on the other end. But we need to create whole new industries here, and I think the best way for us to do that is to move down the path to the solar hydrogen economy. We have fuel cell vehicles in prototype by all three major auto manufacturers. What we need to do is establish a national network of fueling stations, take $1 trillion, build fueling stations to provide hydrogen for these vehicles. Then we can increase the production of them, bring the cost down. This is a technology that is a superior technology in terms of its performance in a vehicle, but also no pollution, zero pollution, reduces our dependence on foreign oil, Saudi oil. I don't know if you saw the report the other day, yesterday, I believe. The Saudi government is considering buying a nuclear weapon, trying to go out and buy nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I know. I mean, was going to talk about that today.
How deep do we have to get in this process of addiction before we realize we don't have the oil and they do? So you build the jobs. This is one of the areas that I would say, and those jobs are not easily transferable. So we have to create new industries. Now you have to stem the flow of jobs because that's what's happening. We're sending our blue-collar jobs to China, our white-collar jobs to India. That's not called free trade. That's called unemployment. We cannot compete with slave wages. It is simple supply and demand economics. So what I have proposed for many years now, even though I love Bill Clinton and Al Gore, I was on the air early in their presidency saying they had trade wrong. They had gotten trade wrong because the theory is, Tom, that those exploited workers in third world nations, that their living standards will rise as they produce these goods and services. Then they'll buy the TVs that we make here. Well, what's happened is their living standards are never allowed to increase. They work under exploitive governments who do not allow collective bargaining, unions who crush them, exploit them. So they stay where they are, and our TV, we just ship our jobs over to cheaper and cheaper labor. So the theory did not pan out. And so what we need to do is re-engineer those trade agreements so that a country gets a favorable tariff depending on if they pay a living wage in their country. If they pay the living wage in their country to the workers, if they allow collective bargaining, then they get a better tariff rate. That way you slow down the rate of loss of jobs, and it turns into eventually a race to the top, not to the bottom.
Right. How about health care?
Well, healthcare obviously is a crisis, a major crisis. Most Americans cite it as the most important concern. They were asked to choose a couple of months ago between healthcare and tax cuts, and it was 88% healthcare to Bush's tax cuts. I think it's clear. And we spend the money right now, about $5,200 per person, to afford a national health care program. But we don't do it efficiently, and that's the problem.
Are you in favor of us?
I am between a single payer and an employer-based program. I believe we can do it in a national way. The concern I have here, always, in every aspect of my policies, as a strategist, as a student of political strategy, We've got to find, as Democrats, ways to sell things better. We've got to avoid political vulnerabilities. The Republicans are so much better than we are, Tom, at strategy, the way they, the slogans. I mean, how on earth?
They're much better at the big lie, Nancy. I think it's melting down for them, though. I really do.
Well, but they're good at it. And we're vulnerable to attacks when they say socialized medicine. We're vulnerable to that. So how can we find a way to accomplish our goals and shield it from as much political tech as possible? And honestly, I am looking at and talking to some of the best in the business, Dr. Quentin Young, you may know of.
Oh, yeah.
About
yeah.
universal health care and how to fashion this in a way. And I haven't yet. It's somewhere between in it.
So you're still working on that.
Through it, yeah.
What are your thoughts on what we should do in Iraq right now?
Well, assuming that we asked all those stupid questions going into this, those completely
right.
un-American
we're there
questions.
Now. And yeah. Let's make it quick because we still have two other callers
okay.
here I'd like to get to.
Now that we're there, and we did not cooperate with the international community, and so we didn't play our cards as well as we should, and our leverage is so low, we need to cut the best deal we can, get the UN, get 100,000 international troops in there, transfer military command to NATO. That is what we're doing in Afghanistan, and it seems to work. We are the big dogs in NATO, so that is not a major change of military strategy. We need to get them to pay at least 40% of what the cost will be for rebuilding Iraq, and we're going to lose a lot in the process because of the way it was played out. But this has to become an international...
Who gets the oil, Nancy?
I think we have to share the contracts because we guard this
that's
jealously.
The
we guard
you know,
this like a but you know what? Wait a minute. Why on earth should American taxpayers pay endless billions? We're at $166 billion, endless billions of dollars, so that a couple oil companies get some contracts when in fact they'll do quite well no matter how this situation
well, I think,
is.
I think the neocons' theory is that we taxpayers will be paid back eventually by Iraq. We get paid back before Iraq gets to get rich.
Yeah, that theory is going to work just as well as NAFTA.
Yeah, it's right up there with trickle-down economics.
Right.
Nancy, Diane is on the line, and she doesn't want to come on the air, but she wants to know a postal address to send money to you. I'm assuming if she just goes to SkinnerForSenate.com, she can get that, but maybe she doesn't have an Internet connection. Is there an address you want to drop on the air here?
You bet. It is Skinner for Senate 2004. That's who you write those checks to. 3105 North Ashland, and that's Chicago, Illinois, 60657.
There you go. And Diane?
60657.
Okay, thank you. And Diane, if you didn't catch that, there's also archives of the show, and I'm sure, Nancy, you must have it on your website. And
my phone number to the campaign is 773-472-7365.
Okay, great. Now we've got Joe in Santa Fe with a question for you. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, Joe in Brookings, Oregon.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you?
Oh, yeah, fine. I was going to ask you a question about the death penalty because, of course, the Republican governor, George Ryan, put a moratorium on it. And you got a Democratic governor that's against putting a moratorium on the death penalty. So I was wondering if you were going to focus at all on the death penalty in your campaign, cut against the grain on what most politicians do on the death penalty issue.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Thanks, Joe, for that call. What are your thoughts on that, Nancy? And
in terms
we've
of
still got three other callers, too.
Yeah, this is a state-by-state issue, really, so it's not something I think will play in the campaign, but I have been adamantly against the death penalty for many years, having interviewed family members of people who had been subsequently released as exonerated from death row. I went through that struggle for many years and had families on my show. The system is broken, and Illinois was the best example of that, and George Ryan was brave, very brave indeed to do that, but if you looked at the evidence, the Chicago Tribune came out with so much
excitement. So the bottom line is you're opposed to the death penalty. Pardon me for cutting you off, but we've only got 2 minutes left, and I got four callers here. Joe in Santa Fe has a question for you. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Oh, he dropped. Okay, how about Matt in Motown? Is he still on there?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Motown, my hometown.
Hi, Nancy. My question for you, and I'm glad that you brought it up, that Democrats need to sell things better. There tends to not be a win-win proposal on how they present things. And then back to the health care issue, I mean, we as an industrialized nation are at a competitive disadvantage by saddling employers with health care, and the rest of the industrialized nations do not. So why is it pitched like universal health care as an economic boon to our employers that they wouldn't have to worry about that, they wouldn't have to pay for it? I mean, obviously there would be, you know, some tax that they would have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall you're going to see, you would see a much, you know, brighter picture for America. I mean, you can see it in the auto industry with Canada. It's tough to compete with Canadian assembly plants because they don't have to pay for health care.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that was the major issue in these discussions that the UAW just concluded. They had to give up a lot just to preserve their health care benefits.
Think of all the pension funds that would be solvent if health care was taken off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Good suggestion, Matt. Thanks for that call.
I ruled it out. I'm just trying to figure out a way that we can actually make it pass, because it's great to talk about things in theory, but we want them in actuality.
Well, Dean is talking about going to a single-payer health care program, but doing it incrementally, you know, the steps in between.
That's right, and I think that's smart.
It seems a little more rational. Rama in Vermont has a question for you. Rama has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Nancy Skinner, skinnerforsenate.com, skinnerthewinner.com.
Yes, and hi, Nancy. Hi, Tom. Real quick, I just want to say, Nancy, because your comment about how we word things kind of harken back to an earlier question. I don't think folks who are in favor of single-payer socialized health care should be afraid of using those words. I think what needs to be done is a better job of getting out there and explaining what it is that is meant and what the other side means when they try to make fun of it. I guess that's all I got.
Rama, thanks for your comment. Nancy, we'll take your response to that right after this break. We'll have just a short little bit here at the top of the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Nancy Skinner, and Joe in Santa Fe will take your call also right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We've got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Nancy Skinner, who's a candidate for the United States Senate from Illinois. SkinnerTheWinner.com or NancySkinner.com or SkinnerForSenate.com will get you to her website. And, Nancy, we have Joe in Santa Fe, our last caller, with a question for you. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Nancy, I'm glad you're running. Illinois will benefit from you, and so will the rest of America.
Thank you,
so
Joe.
So go for it.
Thank you. I will. I intend to. This is the one girl that's hard to put down.
I know it.
Did you have a question, Joe, or did you just want to say go?
No, I know. She'll do good. I think all questions have been covered pretty well, and she's answered them pretty well, too.
Great. Well, thank you for calling, Joe. I appreciate it.
And good luck, Nancy.
Thank you, Joe.
Nancy, what do you think is the biggest issue that's facing the United States right now?
The fundamental attacks on our democracy, I would say. The issues, we talk about these issues, and they're all important to tax cuts and jobs and the economy, but one of the issues I hear time and again, Tom, is that the Republicans have been playing some pretty hardball politics in the last many years. Whether it was the impeachment of Bill Clinton, the election 2000, if you've studied what went on down there, you've got a pit in your stomach. What has gone down in Texas with the redistricting shenanigans in California with this recall. These things are patterns. These are fundamental attacks on our representative democracy. And until Democrats address those specifically and tell the American people that democracy itself is being jeopardized with the media consolidation rules, we have to tie everything we say and do back to the first principles, democracy. We should never let them take the mantle of patriotism. We are Americans, too. And I think that's the most important issue. When we reclaim that ground, then we'll get a hearing on the issues.
So how do we do that, Nancy?
We stand up and say it. I mean, we stand up strong and we tell them that the Republicans are attacking democracy. Gray Davis, if you watched that situation, when he finally stood up and said that this was a right-wing coup and that this is just Republicans try to steal elections they cannot win, his poll numbers improved dramatically. People responded because those people who know it or sense it in their stomachs are so glad there's some leadership on the issue that they respond. And if we
there you go, Nancy Skinner.
Leaders, we would succeed.
We need more. SkinnerForSenate.com. Nancy, thank you so much for being on the program today.
And I
encourage all of you who are listening to check out Nancy's website. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta, Georgia, and engineered by Steph Stryker and Steve Danfroder in Detroit. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in Monday, same time, same place.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Fudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.